Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Christmas Eve edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, and not only is it Christmas time, Jim, it's time for the very first of our six very special year-end awards from the Three Martini Lunch. You know, they got the Time Person of the Year, Barbara Walters' Most Fascinating People. These are the awards I think that people really, really want to win. And secretly, they're devastated if they don't, at least on the ones that are positive.
Yeah, and the ones who don't get it, there's a big sigh of relief you can hear for people who didn't get our bad ones. So.
Exactly. Today, we're looking at the most overrated, underrated, and honest political figures. So we'll start with the overrated. And Jim, my choice this year could be one that completely blows up in my face in the next 2 years. But just based on performance over the past few years, my gut says that this won't blow up in my face, and it's Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton in 2008 was the presumptive nominee. She crashed and burned because she thought she could put away Barack Obama early, and then when that didn't happen, she ran out of money, and by the time she knew what hit her, Barack Obama had all the momentum and ended up as the shocking nominee of the Democratic Party. Then she became Secretary of State. The big thing that, of course, she'll be remembered for is Benghazi. You've got people who are supporting her with all these person on the street videos who can't name one single accomplishment that she's bringing into the 2016 race if she's going to run at all. And then, of course, she had the horrific rollout of her book tour this year where she talked about being dead broke and obfuscated on Benghazi. And it's like, seems like people are already tired of Hillary Clinton before she's even gotten going this year. Yet the mainstream media and the Democratic Party once again trotting her out as inevitable, just like they did nearly 8 years ago. And it looks like she could be in for the very same treatment because voters have just not warmed up to her because she seems kind of posed, kind of insincere, and just not a very natural politician at all. And she just doesn't wear well.
You know, that's a really good choice, Greg. I am impressed. I salute you. Because I actually feared we would have the same pick for this one. And I'm kind of surprised you didn't go with my pick, although I think Hillary ends up being a great choice. My award winner for the most overrated politician of the year, Wendy Davis. Game on. Game off. I'm going to be rather blunt with this, Greg. The idea of nominating a state lawmaker best known for filibustering to preserve late-term abortion in Texas is a stupid idea. She was stupid to run. It was stupid of Texas Democrats to think this was a good idea. It was stupid of the mainstream media to treat her as a serious contender. It was stupid of Sally Cohn to say she was going to win up against Greg Abbott. And it was stupid all the hype around her. In retrospect, she never had a chance. No Democrat in the state of Texas beat 39%. That was a stupid strategy, Texas Democrats. You go sit in the corner. You think about what you did, you dumb, dumb party. And oh, by the way, my alternate pick would have been, had you picked Wendy Davis, would have been Alison Lundergan Grimes. Very much of that same mold of the Democratic's great rural hope. Oh, you think this state is Republican territory? Well, meet this spunky woman who's going to completely upturn the, knock off this established heavy Republican favorite. Oh, bull crud. That none of that came to – it was wish casting on the part of the mainstream media. We are enjoying laughing at their absolute lack of awareness of what the actual political circumstances are in Texas and are in Kentucky. On the one hand, this is very enjoyable to watch Democrats fall flat on their face like this. On the other hand, seeing the media fall for this cycle after cycle is rather frustrating.
Jim, you were down in Texas on election night. How special was it to actually be in the state while Wendy Davis crashed and burned below 40%?
Actually, I say the next morning, the Dallas Morning News headline of just how Republicans had swept and being able to go through and realizing that Wendy Davis is going to be a terrible candidate. The question was, how much would she drag down everybody else with her? And as I said, when you're losing railroad commissioner, state insurance commissioner, in all those positions, getting shellacked in all those races, it's an indicator that Texas Democrats are in big trouble. And they were completely in denial about reality for the entire election cycle.
No. Well, yeah, well, I did consider Wendy Davis for that award, so it's an excellent choice on your part. I haven't made all of my decisions for future awards, but she is in heavy consideration for another one, which we'll get to in the next few days here. On to the most underrated political figure, Jim, and it's kind of a cliche in American politics that a lot of people really don't believe anymore, that one man or one woman can make a difference. And when it came to the immigration debate, that turned out to be true. The Senate easily passed the bill, and then it was the House's turn to consider legislation. Ultimately, they never did bring anything forth until just before the summer recess. And largely the reason that the House conservatives stood firm on this was the result of the work of one senator who was deeply in the minority when the bill came across that chamber in 2013. I'm talking about Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions. He has been a one-man leader on this issue, making sure the base, the grassroots, knew exactly what was going on. It became a huge issue in the midterm campaign after the border surge from this past summer. And he's also leading the charge now to try and figure out the best way to combat the president's executive action on this, which many, of course, consider unconstitutional. So Jeff Sessions gets that award from you this year.
You know, that's a really good choice, Greg. I'm going to stick with mine, and I'm going to stick the Texas theme here. But I think about underrated. I think Rick Perry is basically kind of considered an also-ran in the 2016 race. And I think he's going to be a much bigger player in the discussion than everybody thinks. I don't know if he's going to be the nominee, but I think that he's actually got a few. Obviously, look, he's got a very solid record. Multiple terms of enjoying the Texas economic miracle, the Texas economic boom. I think he's going to be a stronger candidate. I think he's going to be learn from his mistakes of last time. If he's running on, look, I'll do for the country what I did for the state of Texas. The issue of economic anxiety is not going away. And I think his message of I want Washington to be as irrelevant to your life as possible. Look, I think this is a political environment that is you know very receptive to a message like that. And I think he's a guy who conservatives trust, but who also has some substance to him. So I think Rick Perry is the most underrated figure of this year and possibly for the coming cycle. And I'll just say, if he just hadn't hired Steve Schmidt, I'd be feeling even better about him.
Yeah, we talked last week, that and the MSNBC interview. But he's got a chance to, well, really correct both of those things in the next few months. My guess is he'll probably stick with Schmidt for now and go easy on the MSNBC interviews going forward, but we'll see about that. All right, on to the most honest political figure, and let me insert the annual proviso here that this is definitely the one with the least available candidates for in the political world because
a lot of years it's a rebuilding year.
Exactly.
This is the Jacksonville Jaguars category.
Exactly right. And mine is very different this year. A lot of me wanted to go with Tom Coburn, who's retiring. We talked last week about just what a great principled leader he's been in the House and Senate over the last 2 decades. But mine's going to go to a guy who didn't really mean to be honest when it mattered and then was honest when it wasn't. And it just blew up in the last few weeks, even though most of the comments weren't actually this year. Jonathan Gruber, step forward. And thank you for proving virtually every conservative argument against Obamacare by saying that this was a complete lack of transparency. It was a tax. You do think the American people are stupid and that liberals need to make decisions for them because they can't possibly make the best decisions for themselves. It's just everything we needed to be said before the actual vote. It came too late to stop this thing from becoming law. But the truth did come out, and it came out in gloriously fun fashion.
That's a really, really good nomination there, Greg. I'm going to go with a slightly different one, not as well known, but I think symbolic of an important point we're going to see kind of maybe becoming a much bigger part of the discussion in the coming year. Thomas Edsel of the New York Times, who is by no stretch of the imagination a conservative, wrote a column after the election entitled, "Is Obamacare Destroying the Democratic Party?" He used Chuck Schumer's comments as a kind of a jumping off point. And then he kind of pointed out, look, as if Democrats don't have enough trouble, data released by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services shows that many, if not most, of the 7 million people who purchased insurance through the through Obamacare will either have to pay higher premiums or higher deductibles or submit themselves to the complex process of switching plans. And I think, look, this is the most consequential, certainly the most consequential domestic legislation and maybe the most consequential act of the entire Obama presidency is Obamacare. During that time, Democrats have lost a slew of Senate seats, a ton of House seats, and a whole bunch of governorships. And they've just gotten shellacked at the state legislative level. And then a lot of Democrats say, well, yeah, but Obama won in 2012. And all that. Yeah, but Obamacare went into effect in 2013 and 2014. And it's still unpopular. And they just had to revise the numbers down to say, well, actually, we really didn't really hit 7 million when the open enrollment period started. It was down to 6.9 million. So all of the promises about it have been broken. People are not happy with what they've got. They're not happy with their higher premiums, the higher deductibles, the higher copays. It's starting to dawn on Democrats, maybe this isn't such good legislation. And then maybe, yes, there are certain people who are now covered by Medicaid, and that, you know, we can have that discussion, but I think most people are not enormously thrilled with Medicaid coverage because there's so many doctors who don't take it. Yes, there are some people who had pre-existing conditions who can now buy insurance, and they're probably somewhere in that 6.9 million people, and they're happy. But there are millions and millions and millions of people who are now being inconvenienced by it, people who had their plans canceled despite all the assurances. And a lot of people are saying, if you ask the average worker, do you feel like things are better off because of Obamacare? Most of them are going to say no. So all of a sudden, Democrats are starting to recognize that the thing that they staked their House majority on, they staked their reputations on, they staked the entire reputation of the party on, isn't working. And it's not just the problems with the website. And all of a sudden, they're beginning to realize the enormity of the mistake they've made. And Edsel was the one who was kind of most willing to come out and say, hey, this is actually doing real damage to the Democratic Party, a message that none of them want to hear. So he's my nominee for the most honest commentator of the year.
Ah, very good. All right. I think we're off to a great start here, Jim. Mm-hmm. So this is the first of six special year-end award podcasts that will feature three awards each. We will not be on tomorrow, Christmas Day. So, Jim, I hope you and your family have a wonderful Christmas, as well as all of our listeners. And I hope everyone's stocking contains a copy of The Weed Agency.
Always enjoy it, Greg, and happy holidays to you and your family as well.
Thank you, sir. All right, we'll be off again, as I said, on Christmas Day, but back on Friday. I'm Greg Karembas of Radio America. He's Jim Garrity of National Review. Join us Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.